Should we do a clap to start? Just to, yeah, we. I am recording. Are you guys recording?
I'm recording, yeah.
All right, you ready?
Uh-huh. Yep. One, two, three.
Do over. Sandwich calls a mulligan on the clap.
Yeah, he called a, yeah.
Adam. One, two, three. God, sounds like a fucking short bus.
It does.
Play my tape.
You look nice today. A Journal of Emotional Hygiene.
You know what I like right now, Adam, is that your voice sounds like the voice in my head when it's telling me not to do something. Like kind of boomy but gentle.
I'm white Scott Simpson. I'm angelic Scott Simpson on the right shoulder.
That's right. That's right. And then Merlin is the devil on the other shoulder.
You know what? You should take the tip off the table. They'll never notice. It's only a couple bucks. Waiter was kind of a dick anyway. Nobody will notice.
I like how the devil's from the Bronx. Devil's always from the Bronx.
Or it could be Mickey Rourke. You don't know.
Or Mickey Rooney.
All right. I have a cold.
I feel so... Oh, no. Really?
Yeah.
You don't sound like it. You sound
yeah,
good.
Yeah, but... Oh, thanks.
Does the whole family have a cold?
The kids did, and then after 3 days of basically licking their mucus, it finally passed to me.
Have you thought about not licking the mucus?
No,
I'm not
know,
a doctor. I'm just, not a medical doctor. Mm-hmm. But.
It's just so pretty and shiny on their face. And
you're also not a parent. Hey. But when you see that mucus, you just got to really get in there and lick it.
Yeah.
When you see shiny, you make with a licking. That's what.
Yeah,
being
you just swirl it around your finger like the cookie dough, and you just go in.
My daughter's producing a lot of saliva right now.
Oh yeah, she's pretty spitty.
What a cutie in the little Easter outfit too. No, she's cute.
Yeah.
No, shut up, Scott.
Scott's kids are pretty goddamn cute.
You're not allowed to joke.
We want to have a play date. That's not funny.
Can you do that? Can parents call each other kids ugly?
Yeah, totally.
I don't know the rules.
I do it all the time.
Really?
Oh, are you kidding me? Your kids?
Oh, I mean, I would do it, but...
No, yeah, you guys look fine, but your kids are fucking homunculus. You got to be comfortable about having that conversation.
Let's have breakfast for dinner.
I think I still do peace of mind.
That's in every third Guitar Player magazine. That's the tab in every third Guitar Player magazine.
What do you know about Alan Holdsworth? Have you ever heard anything by Alan Holdsworth in your life?
That name doesn't ring a bell.
I saw a Guitar magazine. I don't know if it's Guitar Player, Guitar for the Practicing Musician. I saw a Guitar magazine on the stand at the Barnes & Noble, and it still has Alan Holdsworth on the cover. I don't know whose kitten this guy saved from a tree, but he is always on the cover of Guitar magazines. And I don't know a thing the guy's ever done.
Oops, sorry. I loaded up his website, which is therealalanholdsworth.com.
Except no substitution.
And it's just, he really just goes for it on his homepage. He just rocks out, and I kind of liked it.
Was he burn? He's burning right on the homepage?
Yeah. I thought, like, it took me by surprise because I haven't figured out how this Skype thing works yet. I thought one of you had queued it up on a CD player, and it was just blowing my mind. And then I realized it was just the website.
I think, is he famous for his reach?
Maybe his haircut, by the look of it.
I remember his haircut seeming like it wasn't done by a professional.
Definitely not.
You know that cover I'm talking about, though? There's like that, so hey, first of all, to your point, Scott, I think there's a repeating... It's almost like, you know, how magazines have their fashion issue and their travel issue and stuff like that. It's like they're going to have their annual Edward Van Halen issue.
Well, there's a rotating stable of guys, you know. There's your Yngwie Malmsteens and your...
Satriani.
Steve Vai.
Satriani. Steve Vai. What's the guy who plays the Strat? Like
Stevie Ray Vaughan?
No, he's another one of the horrible, like, over-musician guys. Nah, anyway. Those kind of guys, you know, they're just sort of on a rotation. They just call them up out of the trailer. They live in the basement of the magazine.
But there's always the photo of, like, the guy, you know, that guy who's got the classical guitar, and he's got it all, like, the neck all high up in the air.
Oh, yes.
And he's doing the
reach.
The body
is way too close to his chin.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, the octave reach.
Yeah, that's good. Wearing it way too high. Yeah. It's a little fruity. And then,
yeah.
With the left hand... From the index finger to the pinky, he's doing like 9 frets. He's doing some chord, like it's a chord. We're still figuring out what to call it.
Is that like the guitar player version of how much can you bench? Like, what's your spread? How far can you spread it?
What's your reach, Alan?
What's your reach? Oh, I can hit an octave.
Yeah. It's not big. Yeah, I like to just hit harmonics on the 3, 5, 7, 12. You know, it's pretty intense, and like you don't get it the first time, but yeah.
Whatever. They had to slow it down in recording. People didn't hear the notes.
It's no big deal. Engineer just said it's simply the most mind-blowing thing he'd ever heard before, but, you know, whatever. I do it all the time.
Yeah.
Did you guys listen to... I assume both of you read guitar magazines. Did you also watch the videos?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
I had the cassette. I had the cassette for Brian May.
All right.
Oh, that was... I had that cassette. Yep.
I can still play the solo from Bohemian Rhapsody.
Well, I was a drum guy when I was in of that age that I would get the videos. So it was all the Omar Hakim was a serious recording artist of
what
the
about
day.
Billy No Meter Cobham? Were you a follower of Billy No Meter Cobham?
Sure.
Yeah. I think you're supposed to always say it with no meter in quotes in the middle.
Yeah.
What does that mean? That means he's
playing from his own sheet of music, Scott. There's no meter that can define what Billy No Meter Cobham is doing.
That's an awesome nickname.
It's a fantastic nickname. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go with Merlin. No whole note rest, man.
Like you can't fuck resting.
No, I see it. I read it. I read the whole note rest, but I'm not gonna acknowledge it.
I'll be Adam. Quarter note, half note. Lissigore.
That's pretty good.
What do you want to do?
That's pretty good.
What do you want to do, Scott?
I'm gonna go with Scott. Treble cleft palate.
Oh, that's nice.
You went punny. Oh, I changed mine.
Yeah, I'm going to change mine too. I had a big chic phase. So I think I'm going to go with Merlin, 1-Eanda, 2-Eanda, 3-Eanda, 4-Eanda, man.
All right.
Oh, that's pretty good.
My new one is Adam, pass the goddamn butter, Lissigore.
What's that?
Is that a funk? Is that a funk thing? What is that?
It's something that you learn when you're learning to when you're learning rhythm, like polyrhythms, and you're trying to play
paradiddles.
Trying to play three, four on one with one hand, and then 4-4 on the other hand, and it sounds like this. Pass the goddamn butter. Pass the goddamn butter. Pass the goddamn butter. That's what you learn, and it helps you through it right away. It's sticky.
Did you find, you know, that your butter consumption went up during that time?
I just wanted to pass goddamn things. I didn't care what they were. Anything with two syllables, I wanted to pass that goddamn thing.
I think anything that you repeat to yourself is going to sink in. So maybe, you know, maybe just what made you want to dine out more.
I'm a professional voice actor.
Boy, beer tastes good.
First one since the South by... thing?
Like the 11th, but it feels like the first.
Yeah, but the first really that you're not embarrassed to admit you've had.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah, that's important. I figure I should start decanting. I think instead of bringing an actual entire bottle of wine to our recording sessions, I'm thinking I should probably have you go out to a family restaurant and you get a half carafe of the house wine.
Yeah.
I'm thinking I should parcel this out. Basically, you know, give myself a limit.
What does your baby drink?
Whatever I give her, she's pretty. She has not gotten picky yet. I don't want her to become a beer snob. So we want her to try lots of. The rule is just try it once, and if you don't like it, just try it again later.
I had to do at a party the other day. What my finally after like 18 years after my mom told me it was to do this at a party, I finally got to do it. I went to a party that was a 30th birthday party. The theme of it was 30 is the new 15. And you were supposed to come in your 15-year-old persona, and people had like Boone's there and Bartles and James, and I just didn't feel like drinking, but I didn't want to be the guy that wasn't drinking. And my mom told me when I was 15, it was okay to just carry something around in a cup the whole party and not and just one drink, and you don't even have to drink it as a way of just taste like sort of dancing around the peer pressure. And I really felt it. Did I say 18 years? I don't even know how old I am. I'm 30.
That's close. That's
you know how old
close.
You are. You just can't do math. Did you carry around something alcoholic?
I guess I did. It was a plastic cup with a fuzzy navel in it.
Mm.
Never had one of those before.
Mm. You don't want to have a lot of those. That will.
Or even one.
Next time, I think you should bring a brandy snifter.
When I was 15.
Like just like when you were 15, you go to a party, you fill it up with, you know, some Dr. Pepper. and just kind of swirl it around.
Yeah, that did not
get me
laid.
Nobody likes the over-young connoisseur of something. There was a guy in my college who used to carry around a bottle of really good sake to all the parties. Like he'd be like, I'd be like, dude, you want a beer? He'd be like, no, I brought my own. I'm good.
Oh, no, I was that guy.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What did you bring?
It was sake.
You're Martin Prince.
Yeah.
Some of those fruity kind of girly drinks will give you a really wanging headache. I used to really, my favorite, whenever I would go to a gay bar, I would have the Amaretto Sour.
Oh, those are good. Sure.
You ever have an Amaretto Sour? Oh, man, but they will put a hurting on you.
Yeah, what is Amaretto anyway?
I think Amaretto is made from, walnuts, almonds, cashews.
Like that. It's the little cookies that they give you in an Italian restaurant.
That's right, and it's made from a nut.
And angel tears.
Ugh.
I didn't go to a lot of drinking parties when I was a youngster. I didn't start that really till college.
Did you? How old were you when you first really tore it up?
I was. I have a specific recollection of this. It was. I want to say probably 15 or 16, and I was a busboy, and I'd finished work, and you know, there's that point in your life when you're a teenager, and there's still a lot of like awe and respect for people who are a lot older than you that will hang out with you.
Oh yeah.
And it seems really cool that there's like a 24-year-old guy that wants to hang out and play guitar and drink with you, even though you're 15 or 16.
Sure. McConaughey and Dazed and Confused.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly that guy. Well, I worked with that guy. And we went to his house, and we played Boston covers from a fake book and drank Hoffenreffer Private Stock. And I had, which is a very strong, I think it's an ale.
I think it's a rabbit.
It's I think that's Hasenpfeffer.
Oh.
It's really strong, and it has a rebus that you can solve.
That's a rabbit.
Okay, that's right. A rebus is like Uncle Rebus.
Wasn't he a rabbit? No, he was an uncle.
Like, yeah, Brer Rabbit was part of Uncle Rebus, I'm pretty sure. Is that right? Am I getting that right?
I think it's Uncle Remus, maybe. I don't know.
That just sounds dirty. And so we were playing Peace of Mind by Boston out of a fake book. And I had probably 1.5 of these 16-ounce ales on my little... At the time, I weighed 38 pounds. And I was wasted. And he drove me home. And I have a specific recollection of having to grasp the sides of the door at home to slingshot my way into the room where my mother was sitting and waiting for me. I had to like basically make myself like a structural wrist rocket out of the door to the living room and propel myself into it. And she's not a Boston fan, I'll say that.
She wasn't cool, Mom. It's like, hey, why don't you stay up with me and have another glass of Chardonnay?
There's a famous video out there. I don't know who it is. I want to say the drummer. It's a drummer from like a hair metal band, I think. But the other guitar player in my old band, Mike, used to talk about this video, this famous video where... we'll cut this out, but a video of this one guy, and he had this very, very deep New York accent. He'd tell you how to very important to set up your drums right, and one of the things he was obsessed with was you got to put your cymbals way up high so you don't look like a faggot.
Au contraire, my friend. Au contraire.
Awkward cake.
You guys want a quick piece of awkward cake?
Mm-hmm. Do it.
I was in, you ever had that phase you go through in high school where you're really more into like getting a group of four people and then coming up with a name than you are to actually, you know, practicing? And
yes.
It's very important to like come up with logos and figure out what songs you would cover.
Yeah, it's the male coat of arms disease.
Yes. It's something that came right on the heels of D&D for me.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Went straight in fact, at the time, I think the fake band that I wasn't in was actually called Holy Grail because we liked the Monty Python movie so much.
Wow.
And of course, for the D&D reference. So around that time, and I wanted to be, I was a really like beyond like just middling guitar player. But the other guy, actually a guy who played sax in the school jazz band that I was in, I played guitar in jazz band, and he was this really widely acknowledged in Pasco County, was Frank. Frank was very widely acknowledged as like one of the more shredding metal artists, you know, in high school. And he's like, hey, listen, you know, we're doing this thing at my church, you know, and we, you know, and do you want to like be in the band? And I was like, you know, sure, why not? Yeah, sounds great. So what he didn't make clear to me was that it would be, we'd be playing in the youth fellowship hall of his church. What he didn't tell me was we wouldn't have a chance to rehearse until 10:30 a.m. on that Sunday morning. He furthermore did not tell me that, it's fine if I bring my guitar, but he's mostly there for me to be the front man.
Nice. Now, this like is a singer?
Yeah. No. Think like 1985. Think Klaus Meine. Think David Lee Roth. Think, you know, hair metal.
Okay, so like the charismatic band leader singing crazy guy.
Yeah. So can I just toss out like a few of the tunes that I, with my skills and range, Still Loving You by the Scorpions.
That's hot.
Do you remember that one?
Sure, of course, yeah.
If we'd go again all the way from the start. Except I can't sing it in falsetto. I'm in a church hall. Sister Christian by Night Ranger. I think we also did You Can Still Rock in America. And we got to rehearse for what amounted to about 2 hours to learn about 12 songs.
Why were you guys playing like crappy rock covers?
Scott, I don't know how old you are, but that's the oeuvre.
This is it's what people did.
I'm not going to apologize. I grew up in Central Florida, and I had 3 Night Ranger records, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Nothing.
I guess I should say I shouldn't have emphasized.
What were you listening
part.
To? Were you listening just, to like what, like Bud Powell? I mean, like what were you listening to?
Oh, I was into the White Lion. The Warrant.
Europe.
I didn't like the Europe. They were a little too keyboard heavy for me. Mm-hmm. I liked the, the hair metal. Like one step worse than what you were listening to.
Yeah, I always admired that Kelly Keegi would come and set up his drums kind of sideway on stage.
Why is that? Rock guys are always named lady names.
Hmm. Any examples?
Like Kelly. Kelly. That's all I got.
Nikki. Nikki Six.
Nikki.
Yeah. Nikki.
Judy.
I bet there's a lot of Judy, the one from Kiss.
Yeah. Yep.
Judy. Judy Dragon.
So how did the performance go?
I'm not gonna lie to you, Scott. It did not go well.
Okay. What do you mean by that?
First of all, the crowd was gratefully was completely indifferent, and they filed in, and it was a lot of that. It's kind of what you'd expect for the folks who would come to a church fellowship hall at 2 on a Sunday. There's a lot of that kind of Belinda Carlisle sort of dancing, like while we're playing Scorpion covers. And it was a bloodbath. It went very badly. There were a couple times where, like, in the middle of, like, the first verse, we had to just stop because it was... Yeah. Yeah. No, because, you know, and, the if the drummer doesn't really super know the song, then, you know, there's going to be train wrecks.
That's humiliating when the band has to stop in front of a real audience. That just sucks. It happens a lot with young musicians.
Yeah, and even the greatest lover of rock is not going to accept the excuse that you only had 2 hours to practice.
It's true.
They don't understand. They're there to rock and love the Lord.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, my particular story revolving the performance in a church was actually a part of a battle of the bands.
Whoa! Can I ask a question here? Why they let you in?
Even at that age, I knew to keep my mouth shut about what I was, and I hadn't really developed a Semitic look yet. I was still sort of. I could have passed for a choir boy. I really could have.
Okay, so the swarthiness set in later is what you're saying.
Yeah, all of that, all of the.
What about the kvetching? You were able to kind of cover that up too.
Well, yeah, I sort of developed. I had tics to express myself in other ways.
What about the circumcised penis?
And the anhedonia.
Yeah.
Listen,
I couldn't do
thanks. We're just so darn happy you came out today to play with the music. But really, we just have a couple quick questions we need to run down with you before you get in there to play your gig. That's what you call it, a gig. Adam, what kind of name is Adam?
Biblical. It's biblical.
It's biblical. It's in the Bible.
Wait. I'm thinking it's more. It's kind of an Old Testament name though, right?
Did they try to save you, Adam?
There were times in my young life when I was, it was attempted that I would be saved, but not on that particular instance, because I think just the music was so bad. They didn't want me. And also the choice that our repertoire was not, was, I guess it was all like, Metallica, you know, I was that age. Metallica, Use Your Illusion had just come out. So we were heavy on the Guns N' Roses and Metallica covers. And just as, it was probably 15 minutes, we were about to go on, the minister asked, could we maybe do something about the lyrics? Because they weren't necessarily so friendly for that environment. So could we maybe just put some lords and some gods in there, change it up?
Are you serious?
Singing. Yeah, no, absolutely. We had to do that. It was a battle of the bands. We came in fifth out of five.
Is that last?
That's not that bad.
And I didn't know it was going to be taking place in a church either. This came as a surprise to me. It all became clear. Just like all of a sudden, where the fuck am I? I don't know what this building is, because I hadn't really been in a church before.
I was in a power rock Christian band all through high school.
Cool.
Overtly. Whoa. You identified yourself with the Lord in your music?
We played in church.
Mm.
It was awesome.
Did you have a name?
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you what it is.
Sure you are.
What it was.
Come on.
No.
You're going to make me guess?
Yeah. It was a lot of, I think ultimately, like being in every band, it just was a lot of driving and listening to tapes with other guys in the band. And the only difference was that, you know, when we would get out to do like prayer breakfasts and crazy summer festivals where bad things would happen. And
it's all right. A gig is a gig.
Yeah, it's true.
A gig is a gig.
Yeah.
It's not how many years you play. It's how many hours you play. Right. That's from Axe.
We were called COP. We were called COP, and we tried to keep it at COP.
Citizens on Patrol.
Nope. Close.
Christians of
Purgatory.
Personality.
Both close.
Crapping on ponies.
That's why we didn't want to share it with other people, because it was Company of Praise. Yeah. My go-to outfit was
Company of Praise.
My go-to outfit was a t-shirt that looked exactly like a Jack Daniels t-shirt, except it said Book of Daniel on it. And that was it, you know, it, there was a lot of shame. There was a lot of shame and a lot of heavy metal in Christian
metal
incarnation. Yeah, it was great.
There's a Christian analog of everything that you would normally feel would be base and morally bankrupt. I remember one of my friends had Christian rap tapes when we were kids, and they weren't recorded in a basement. They were recorded in an actual studio.
But you can still, you can always, it's something like, I've always thought that I have this gift. I can immediately tell when anything is non-secular rock of any kind. I immediately, there's something about it, something, some little hair in my ear starts twitching, and I immediately know.
Exactly,
do you know what I'm saying?
I don't know, you know, that particularly, but I know that gut sense. Like I know when I turn on anything instantly if it's Canadian or not.
I've always kind of felt like
I have that too. I have the Canadian sense.
Canadians, it's very clear. I always thought that, Christian music, it always seemed kind of like the Special Olympics of music, because like you just had to like kind of know the gestures well enough, and like they weren't that discerning. They were kind of just glad you were there.
And your key, your impetus is not to be a pioneer stylistically. Your impetus is to look as much as possible like what is already popular.
Well, the bar is so low. It's almost like playing for people in a prison camp. I mean, they're just glad somebody's up there, you know, shaking their ass around. You know, if you're going to go and play to kids who are really there for, you know, a Christian kid audience, you know, they're not going to be up there really kind of like calling you out on your Jack Daniels shirt.
Wow. It was a hot shirt. It was a pretty sweet shirt.
Do you remember how the band ended?
Oh, gosh. How did we end? Oh, I remember. The drummer's house, the house that he lived next to. And I should mention that I was like 15, but the other guys in the band were like 24. Like this was they were not messing around. They were serious. They had the long hair, but the kind of long hair that's piled high on top of your head, like any working road hair metal musician would have. And they were really skinny and really hardcore and really serious. And they weren't there to mess around.
They lived with their parents.
Lived with their parents.
They did not have jobs.
And the drummers, the house next door to the drummer blew up. And for whatever reason, that just made it clear to us that it was time to stop the band. Like nothing, nobody was hurt or anything, and we can continue to practice. But one day the drummer was like, "Hey, can't come to practice. The house next door to me blew up." And we're like, "Yeah, okay. Well, I guess we're done."
I guess we should sell the PA and split the proceeds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you do that? Did you buy equipment together?
We had back to the church thing. That was a great thing about churches is that they all had the really nice PA systems built into the sacristy.
That's almost like it's a recording contract you sign with God.
There's like a quarter inch plug in the holy water urn, and you just you plug in and you go.
And they got dressing rooms, right? Because they got a baptismal, so they got to have a place for you to change.
Yeah, so we had, it's awesome. It's like perfectly set up to do a rock and roll show. And, it's like got seats, but they're not seats that are so comfortable that you'll sit down the whole time. Yes. People are okay getting up, sitting down. So, it's kind of perfect.
Craft services that could potentially save your soul.
Yeah, they got.
This due in remembrance of me, dude.
Have you guys ever been to or seen one of those mega churches?
I've just seen them on TV.
Me too.
Beauty, astounding.
They're amazing.
They are. This wasn't a mega church that you were touring.
No, this feels like the age an age before those things really took off, and so we were just out doing our thing at local Methodist churches. They got us, I guess, is why we went Methodist mostly.
Mm-hmm. Is that like choosing a label in your mind?
Yeah, it's like, it's like, yeah.
What I want to do is I'm talking to different people, I'm going out, and I'm just, at this point, I'm really just literally just gathering information. I want to find out. I've talked to Methodists, I've talked to Baptists, I've talked to the Unitarians, heard what they've had to say, and I'm just happy to sit down with you, here in the Presbyterian label and hear what you have to offer me.
Yeah, what are your terms? What do you guys, where do you come down on, royalty rights?
Yes.
And
salvation.
What kind of points is the big man going to take off my back end?
Exactly. My rider includes a lot of stuff. Are you going to be able to provide that? All those things. So, the Methodists were able to come through. They had the best dressing rooms. They, gave us M&Ms and let us wear the robes sometimes. And so we were on board.
In retrospect, I would have gone totally Unitarian Universalist. Do you have any friends who are Unitarians?
I do.
They're like bunnies. I mean, you're meeting these people and you're French kissing in 15 minutes. These are very, very sexually active young people.
Oh, really?
Oh, tremendous sexual machines.
I would have assumed the opposite. I would have thought
you're thinking because they're so noncommittal in their spirituality, they're not going to throw down as regards genitals.
And that they're okay, and that since they're just so permissive, when you have something that's really sort of healthily restrictive, that's when I figure you would get a lot of crazy activity, like a Catholicism or something a little more strict like that.
And that's where the money is. It seems like a Unitarian wouldn't spend a lot on gear and toys and goodies and
Unitarians, it's much more like, we're going to have a lock-in, put down your mat, and start having intercourse. Unitarians, we don't have skate ramps.
That's good. We just fuck.
Did you have a question for the sandwich?
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, this came up the other day. Yeah, we're spectators, obviously, and traffic collisions are a spectator sport for sure, but when there's an attractive person involved, it's even doubly so. So the other day I was driving home from somewhere on the freeway, and there was a girl, and the motorcycle cop was, and they were both sitting on the median, and she had short shorts, and she was very attractive. That slowed my shit down, you know, and I was part of the problem.
You're not made of stone.
No, absolutely. I rubber-necked. My neck is made of rubber as well. So,
did you feel like you got some value out of that?
Oh God.
Yeah. See, it's interesting because I think you find yourself kind of pushing your currency across the table before you even understand what it is you're buying.
All right.
Whoa.
You know.
That's a euphemism for something I do not want to participate in.
You understand. You're pushing your money across the counter, and you know what you're getting.
Now, in this particular metaphor, your money is what exactly?
All I'm saying is something in your makeup caused you to say, there's a girl in shorts. I need to have a look at that.
Oh, that would be my penis.
Okay.
Well, also you're working on your future, potential masturbation library. And hot lady who's been simultaneously pulled over and in a minor accident. Yeah. It's like perfect.
So
quite the collection I've amassed, yeah.
Lady in shorts with accident and cop. That I think the Library of Congress actually has that's maybe like BN.
It's a category. That's the last category.
After hot chick needs cable fixed.
Lady in shorts, accident, cop.
Lady cop.
And then it just goes back to Lady Cop.
Now you're talking.
Now I'm talking late night HBO.
I am now moving my money across the counter.
Now I'm talking fantasy I've never actually had myself, but I'm really well aware of.
What if a lot of women were on their way to work in bikinis at a car wash to save an orphanage, and they got pulled over by a lady cop, like on the 5?
And then they all wrestled.
Yes.
Because they had to.
Because they had to like settle something.
Yeah.
Well.
I'm pretty sure that happens.
I bet that happens all the time.
Hands in a derby.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to go get another jar of nuts. Walgreens has a premium mixed nut selection that I can really recommend.
Watch out. There might be a snake inside.
What's the assortment?
This is a select.
A reasonable amount of cashew.
Oh, this is the select premium blend. Okay.
Right.
Two for $5, 9 ounces. Cashews.
What's the maximum peanut guarantee?
No peanuts. The MPG no, there's not a single peanut in here. Cashews, almonds, macadamias, and pecans.
Oh goodness!
Fucking
that is,
fucking
that is premium.
Pecans. When's the last time you had pecans in a can of nuts?
Mm-hmm. Oh Jesus!
That's right. Never. I'll be right back. You guys should talk amongst yourselves.
Hey Scott.
Hi Adam.
How's the family?
I do not have anything to say to you.
Nothing at all?
Nothing.
Casually.
This is not our time to talk. No.
That is really, really awkward.
I don't want to. Oh, thank God.
Has that whole conversation been you guys trying to figure out what to say to each other?
It was awkward.
No, it was just, I have nothing to say to Adam. It's just like, it's getting to the point where I don't know what to do anymore. Yeah. I mean,
so Austin was pretty fun, right?
Oh, Jesus Christ. That's like this painful thing in my head. What?
So am I like the Jerry to your like?
Thank you for talking.
Elaine and Kramer.
It's worse. It's like Jerry. You're like Jerry to our Elaine and Elaine.
God, this is loaded with macadamias.
Oh, it's got macadamias.
Dude, let me read this to you again. Cashews. This is 2 for $5, and they're 9 ounces of cashews, almonds, macadamias, and pecans. No peanuts.
You know how some kinds of fish eggs and sushi are actually nowadays just manufactured?
Really?
Like the salmon eggs in ikura, like the large eggs.
Yeah.
The big orange ones?
The big orange ones, but the even more common are the smaller, like tabico, I think they're called. The little ones that often are sort of like garnish for a California roll or something like that, the little orange ones. They're just manufactured out of fish oil.
Can you tell the difference?
I can't, but I think one can. And my question is, given the price to ostensible nut quality ratio in that particular can of nuts, you might be dealing with a manufactured nut, my friend.
You're saying I'm sitting here and I've got what seems like a tremendous value. I've got 9 ounces of delicious premium nuts for $5.
And you've got macadamia nuts made out of fish oil is what Scott is saying.
You know what? They look delicious. They're covered in sea salt, a dusting of sea salt. I think if anything, I think the outlier in here is going to be the pecans. Because a pecan, you do not get a pecan in a select nut mix very often. That is where I would cut corners. Macadamia, see, I think macadamia is, that's kind of like if you're going to give somebody a bunch of cash, they're going to like count the hundreds. You know what I'm saying?
Macadamia is like the new cashmere.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
It's like the cashmere of nuts. Yeah.
Yeah. But the pecans, first of all, you're just going to be so happy. You're like, holy shit, there's fucking pecans in my mix. And you're not going to spend the time to realize that it's fish oil.
Yeah, that's,
you know, and I got to say, now that you're mentioning it, Scott, there's not that many pecans in here. I got one pecan. Yeah. There's one. Yeah. A lot of cashews, but no peanuts. That's all I'm saying.
If I had my choice from all the mixed nuts, I think I would. If there was a way to get a can of cashews, just all cashews instead of.
And that's easy. That's not even hard at all, Adam. That's very easy to get.
Where? I got to move to San Francisco. That's bullshit.
We have a tap. It's nothing but cashews. Comes right into the house.
So you got hot, cold cashews.
I would say they're cool and warm.
I would never leave the house.
I don't. I've got a cashew pit.
Do you shower? Do you take a cashew shower?
No, I mean, I'm not made of money. No, I have got kind of a premium peanut shower.
It comes from the Department of Water, Power, and Cashew.
That's right.
PG&C.
Yeah. Personally, tonight, I think I'm going to quit eating nuts now, although they're really fucking good. I should get you some off the website, have these sent to you. You know, Elvis used to do this. Elvis used to go through phases where he'd get really into something and then he'd give them to everybody.
Oh, man, you got to have some of these nuts, man.
You got to get yourself some of these macadamia. But
that was an uncannily great Elvis impression.
Here, say something about giving away trailers and pistols.
Oh, I don't know words.
I'm gonna.
Oh man, I want to give us some of those trailers away and pistols, man.
You all got to get one of these pistols.
Give it away to a trailer. I don't know. I can't improvise.
Elvis gave all of his guys trailers. At one point, when he was on the rocks with Priscilla, he moved into a trailer, like on Graceland. And he liked it so much that he made all the other guys move into trailers too.
That's so good. Like a big slumber party of trailers in the front yard of Graceland.
God, can you imagine how great it would be if we didn't have jobs and we just, like, each of us had a trailer and, you know, our family could ride around with us.
Yes.
And then we just be like, hey, you know, I feel like going to Dubuque. See, that's what strikes me as particularly potentially magical here is that, you know, we could all have trailers. And then, you know, Adam would be like, hey, I hear there's some pretty sweet cashews in Albuquerque. And we'd be like, fine, let's hit the roads.
Sounds so good. Just caravan over to Albuquerque for nuts because we heard about some good nuts.
I heard the nuts are good around these parts.
And then, you know, we hit the nuts and then we're out, you know, and you know, we just move on to the next town.
Can you even think about how menacing that would be to see all of those trailers coming at you?
It would let you. Oh, you mean not menacing at all?
And completely menacing. Those men got nuts on their mind.
It's true.
And finally.
So, do you guys want to do the "You Look Nice Today" award?
Yeah,
I think we should do that. I think that would be really nice.
So remind me of what? What is it? Once
well, I think it. I don't really know. I have no idea.
Okay.
But, you know, the person who in the last week or the last amount of time has been an inspiration to us on Twitter, the You Look Nice Today Award is presented to the person who's exemplified the ideals and hopes, dreams of the community. I'm just going to say
the
community.
Can we call it the You Look Nice Today Carnation?
Ooh, that's cool.
I'd like to imagine it's like junior high, and you're going to get like a handwritten note on a single white carnation.
All right. The You Look Nice Today carnation is presented each week to the person who we believe exemplifies the ideals of the You Look Nice Today community.
Yeah.
This week, I'd like to nominate going back a little bit because, you know, this is our first award. John Maltz.
Seconded, my friend.
His powerful and courageous evocation of the TED conference experience for those of us who weren't able to attend. I wasn't able to attend because my grandmother was getting baptized, and so I couldn't go. I know that you guys had other... Well, no, actually, neither of you was invited.
No, I was invited, so. But I couldn't go because your grandmother was being baptized.
Adam, what's your excuse?
What is this TED you speak of?
Right. So, I mean, thank God that John was able to go and was able to bring back to us messages from... It almost felt
like... Well, he captured... a lot of conferences are exciting, and it's fun to go there because you can learn a lot. But John really captured the enthusiasm of being around that many slightly famous people talking about ideas. Yeah.
Here are a couple of particularly piquant examples to my ear. At TED, Larry Flint to demonstrate his worldwide colonoscope later today. I think I'm going to give that one a pass. At TED, five words, Jell-O shooters with Maya Angelou. At TED, Lech Walesa is helping me prep for my presentation tomorrow. He knows almost as much about balloon animals as I do. For your courageous work, bringing back to us information from a conference that other people, when they tried to report from, were murdered, literally, yes, in cold blood.
Killed.
John, we give you the You Look Nice Today carnation.
Can we give him like kind of the slow, insulting claps of like this. Bravo, John Maltz. Bravo.
Well played.
Well done.
This has been You Look Nice Today, featuring Lonely Sandwich, Scott Simpson, and Hot Dogs Ladies. Thank you.
I like that you added, I don't even know what the word would be, crucifixion punctuation.
Is that a Jamiroquai album?